Welcome back to Through the Word. Pastor Jonathan here, leading you through the second letter from the Apostle Peter. Peter begins his second letter by reminding us of the completeness of God's gift to us. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Take that in for a moment. God has given you everything you need to live right. And knowing God is the key to a godly life. Chapter 1 is a call to live godly, but not by trying harder in your strength. We're so ready to trust in human schemes and the newest self-help plan. I know I often trust in my own strength instead of resting in the knowledge of God. But Peter here echoes Proverbs 3, where it tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Back in 2 Peter, verse 4, Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Believers, we've been born again into the family of God, and we now have the nature of God dwelling in us. It is who we are, not who we're trying to be, so live it out. Now don't misread it. We are not divine ourselves, but we are able to taste of God's nature and experience it in our lives. It's not being God, it's living godly. So now that we're born again into the family of God, it's time for us to grow up. Verse 5, For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each of these virtues is built on the previous one. We start with our faith in God, and our faith leads us to live a life filled with goodness. Our goodness does not lead us to faith, but our faith will lead us to do good works. In other words, our goodness will advertise what God has already done in our lives. It is God's Spirit at work, not our own strength. And as we let His Spirit work, those things will increase in our lives. This list reminds me of what Paul says in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now the thing about this fruit is, it's grown, not manufactured. If a tree is given nourishment, it will produce fruit. Manufactured fruit? Well, it's not even real fruit at all. It's fake, it's plastic, and it gives us no nourishment. I, for one, prefer the real stuff. So, how can we know that we have a real faith and not a plastic, fake faith? Verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter says, if we see these virtues, faith, goodness, knowledge, and the rest, in our lives, we can know that we are saved. We can know that we are becoming more like Jesus. If we've been born again, then it will show in the way we live. Again, we do not do these things to get into heaven. Peter says, confirm, not earn. Yet there is effort involved. Twice Peter says, make every effort. And as we do these things, we can be assured that we are saved and will have a rich welcome in heaven. I, for one, want to hear Jesus say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. But to hear that, I know that I must do the things my master has told me to do. Verse 12, So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Even though his readers knew the truth, Peter was not afraid to remind them of these same things over and over. And this is important for us today as well. I've been a believer for over 22 years now, and have listened to multiple pastors teach through the entire Bible. I've found that it can be easy to tune out to sermons on the more familiar passages. But Peter tells us that we should pay attention, even to messages we have already heard. I know personally that there have been many truths that I have needed to hear again and again and again. Okay, you might ask, Peter's reminding his readers of his message. But how do we know this message is the true word of God? There are a lot of teachers in the world claiming to know the truth. What makes Peter's message different? Or what about Paul or John or any of the apostles who gave us the New Testament? Peter answers this question by pointing out two pieces of evidence, the Transfiguration and prophecy. Verse 16, For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Matthew 17 tells us the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus was revealed in his full glory. Peter, James, and John were there. They witnessed it. They heard the voice of the Father, proclaiming that Jesus was the beloved Son of God. Verse 19, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Peter also refers to prophecy as a proof of the truth of the message of Jesus. The story of Jesus in the Gospels was a perfect fulfillment of all that the Old Testament prophets foretold, and the Bible's end-time prophecies will prove equally reliable. Now, we simply don't have enough time to dive into a lot of the prophecies concerning Jesus, but I would suggest you pick up a good book on Bible prophecy. A couple of books I suggest are Every Prophecy About Jesus and Every Prophecy of the Bible, both by John Walvoord. Now, the important thing about these prophecies is where they came from. Look at verse 20. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." These prophecies did not come from man's imagination, but rather they came from God himself. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the others most likely didn't understand all the details of what they were writing, but they wrote as God directed them to. Daniel even tells us more than once that the prophecies he wrote confused him terribly, and yet the prophecies were fulfilled centuries later, because they weren't from Daniel, but from God. And God planned it that way, in order for us to know the truth of the message that Peter and the other apostles taught, that we can trust in Christ for our salvation. And yet, there are also false prophets and false teachers. To find out more about them, come back tomorrow for 2 Peter chapter 2.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.